Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And we thank Stuart Motes for joining us live in hour number one. And I guess he will be appearing on the ballot with Heather Hill in the May 5th primary for governor, but no longer with the campaign for all the reasons you heard earlier on. Now, there was a city council meeting last night, and we've also learned that the plan, the financial plan for the city of Marion, was submitted to the state on April the 6th. The mayor is hoping that that plan comes back this week with a yay or a nay. After last night's city council meeting, we had a chance to speak with Marion City Councilman at Large, Scott Kreider. And here's that interview. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about all the things Mr. Kreider talks about. Scott Spears here after tonight's Marion City Council meeting with at-large City Councilman Scott Kreider. Mr. Kreider, good to be with you.
Hello, Scott. How are you today?
Doing very well. Let's talk about the plan that just went to the state. We learned tonight from Mayor Collins that the plan for the city's financial problems went to the state August or April the 6th, excuse me, and is due back possibly anytime this week. The city residents did not know this had happened. I don't think it had been reported anywhere. Maybe it had. Blew past me, I guess. But what was in the plan, the big parts?
Well, it was primarily all the reductions and so forth that he had that came up with when he actually voted for the budget, and so which I was pleasantly surprised, but unfortunately we lost the city engineer and so forth with that type of thing. So I think what amounts to is that amount of deficit reduced like $3.2 million or somewhere around that function. So I was like, I'm just waiting to look at the response. I think what we've got is a situation that given primarily the issues with the auditors and the amount of time and not those actions not being corrected at the time that they were being done really has hurt. And I think that the state is, I don't want to use the word complicit, but I was aware of that, and they're trying to work with us, and that's what I'm hoping be the findings of all of that, but we'll have to see what if we get any sort of reprieve or extensions or something of that nature or reconciliation and so forth. And again, with the reconciliations, hard to make those decisions when you don't know what you have to work with, you know.
Well, I think two of the main things that people are confused about. In late February, the mayor sent out a letter outlining what he wanted to do in the letter to the state. But as far as curbside recycling went, we never have heard fully if that's been eliminated. And bus rate increases, we haven't heard anything about that.
No, and that was the other thing, too. My recycling was taken today. I thought, let's just see, just like everybody else. So that's one of the things again, waiting for the findings from the state and say, okay, this has been approved. Okay, really, how is this going to be implemented? But it's just like when we voted for the budget, I thought maybe the recycling was going to be at least suspended for a while. It hasn't been, but I think it's just getting everything aligned and when we get reports back and so forth. So
the plan that was sent to the state did not eliminate curbside recycling?
As far as I know, that was the case. As far as
it,
I know,
it was eliminated.
I think it was, or because remember those positions. I think there was two positions that were going to be the crew that would was doing the recycling. They're going to be placed in other positions. As far as I recall.
I think where the confusion's coming here is if the plan was submitted to the state on April the 6th, which I think is what was said tonight, but yet officially curbside recycling has not been eliminated, or the rates on the bus fares have not been raised. How could that be put in the plan if those two things have not been done?
Right, and exactly. So that's what I'm like. you think when we pass it as council that it would just take effect. There might have been a 30-day or something of that nature. But typically, we had that the 25% budget initially, and then that was, you know, April 1 is when that would have been essentially replaced for the remaining budget. Where did that little bit of money for what's happening now come from? So it's just like, you know, again, I think trying to get everything aligned with that response from the state is going to cause some other actions, honestly. So
do you think the state knows at this point if those two things have happened? If it was put in a letter that curbside recycling would be eliminated, bus rates would be raised, but they have not, I'm assuming the state probably thinks that this has been implemented.
Don't know about that, but I would think that it's just how it is phrased and so forth, and how that, in a sense, will be if the findings are going to be, you know, in line with what they're looking at, increases in revenue and other cuts that they've made. So
it's been nearly 2 months since that letter came out. I believe it was the last week of February from the mayor. Why do you think nothing has been done or said in regard to either one of those things since that came down the pike back in February?
I think it's just been very complex and trying to rate again, wait on the reports, the reconciliations, all of the fines from, you know, the IRS and all of that. Again, it's just it's become a timing issue and not being able to react or respond when you've really needed to do that. And just, you know, it's been very clunky as far as being able to try to get address a lot of these.
Now the mayor said not too long ago that he did not want the city to fall under state control as far as the finances go. Do you think we're in good shape? Do you think this is a good plan that went down there? Do you think this is going to be good news that comes back hopefully this week, as the mayor says?
I hope it is, but it's just like, if it isn't, then okay, then I think it's up to the state to help. If we've requested that by putting under caution like we have right now, that okay, then what do we need to do? The thing is, if it's under emergency, it's like 85% budget essentially what you have to work with. That's going to really involve a lot more cuts with salaries and the like for all the employees for the city and so forth. And what, you know, that is not the community I want to be in, honestly, because it's going to just, I think it's going to really hurt our community morale when we're really making some effort, I think. So,
what do you think is likely to happen? If you had to bet on this, is it just 50-50 at this point?
I couldn't say. But I'm hopeful is that they've had, you know, team members from the state work with directly more with the city, and that's what I'm kind of gearing for, and to see if that was really, if they've taken, you know, prior recommendations and they've worked. Trying to establish what's going to go on moving ahead. So,
and just in a nutshell, explain to us what happened with the 4th Ward City Council person that was appointed last week. You were the lone vote not for him by City Council. Why did he resign in 2 days, and where are we now with this process?
Well, he had a conflict of interest with his job with the state, so that was not evidently pretty much vetted, you know, from the beginning. I thought the whole process was rushed through, although 4th Ward, you know, is lacking its ward representative, but it was the fact that it was things were discovered a little bit afterward. The fact that if you've just because you pull a ballot for Republican or Democrat when you go in to vote, essentially they're waiting on the answer, the Board of Elections waiting on the answer from the Secretary of State's office, and now it had been moved to the prosecutors, county prosecutors, whether or not that has to be certified for your whatever ballot you pull for you to be of that party, essentially. So what's happened is that Mr. Wilson was nonpartisan to begin with, and then all the discovery with his job and everything came into play. But when he resigned, what's taken effect is the fact that he was still considered nonpartisan because the election is going on right now for early voting and so on through the 5th of May, and the fact that once it's certified, essentially 2 weeks later, that's when it counts. We're waiting on that answer, okay? So what ends up happening is this, It's believed that that could be reverted back to how it started at the beginning, because there was a person elected. Council did its due diligence on that part, okay? However, those circumstances had been discovered. It's changed. From what was said tonight, it reverts back. And I don't know if it goes, we're waiting whether it goes back to Republican, or if it, because he resigned as a nonpartisan because he didn't change, if that remains as a nonpartisan. There's going to be some information, obviously, from that ruling. So we're waiting for both the Secretary of State. Like I said, it was forwarded last Thursday from the Board of Elections, and then to the county prosecutor to review today.
Here's the confusion I think that people are having on this. I think there's a few points. This seat has been vacant since February when the 6th Ward became vacant. I think the same day those announcements were made. That seat was filled by the Republican Party fairly quickly. It was their option to fill this seat. The Republican Party did not fill the 4th Ward seat. It came to council. Does nobody want this position? Why is it? What's happening there?
I think it's very curious. I don't know. I think that there was a... We have to look at us. There probably the central committee. There was some as far as the people wanting the position could not move forward because they didn't have a quorum to move that forward in central committee, because they had, I think, two of the three members were interested in the position. So I think structurally that came into play, and therefore you had other options. And certainly, from what I understood, the when that. Fourth Ward came up, and it was Ash Wednesday, and then the 45 days was up on the 4th. They had that, there was that opportunity to through the 13th, from what information I was gathering, that anybody could from that point apply. Didn't have to be Republican and so forth for that position. And I thought, well, okay, I was forwarding information on encouraging people to apply and so forth. But I just think it was, again, situation of circumstances, perhaps, but we do need clarity. And that's what I thought, having that vote last time without doing the proper vetting and so forth, we could have waited one more meeting, to be able to get some more clarity on that instead of, I know they were trying to forge ahead because they had taken over the 45 days to come up with something, but, you know.
Final question on this. I think the final bit of confusion is that Mr. Wilson was here last week. He was sworn in right after the vote, but people did know he worked at ODOT, and a matter of fact, he abstained from two votes last week because of that position. So how could there not have been confusion to begin with and question? And why wouldn't the law director catch that?
I don't know. I have to ask them, because I just like, well, okay, there are circumstances. You've had other councilmen and even myself, not during council, but when I was design review board, when you had projects in the works that you could see, you could maybe make the presentation, but you could essentially not vote on them. So you know, you're sharing your professional information and with ordinances and so forth with the community. That's fine and well, but I think the timing on everything not to really came into play. It kind of was rushed through. So.
Scott Kreider, Marion City Council at Large. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
We thank Mr. Kreider for speaking with us after last night's Marion City Council meeting. And I also want to let people know that I did have an email exchange with Mayor Bill Collins this morning, and he said as soon as we know something from the state, he will let me know so we can let our audience know, and I do thank Mayor Collins for doing that. I guess we hope for the best at this point. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say in regard to what Mr. Kreider had to say or what Stuart Motes had to say this morning, feel free to buzz in. We'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open. I think I got my headphones in backwards. 740-383-9944. You know, you got to have them in the... It's mono, so you've got to have the headphone in the right ear. I'm not sure if this is right or not. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Well, what went on during last night's city council meeting? Well, they talked some more about four-year terms for council, staggered terms. Not really a whole lot of discussion there. You know, the one thing I'm interested in, if they're going to go to four-year terms, are there going to be term limits? Let's say two terms. That'd be 8 years. Nobody asked that question last night. Now, they asked about getting rid of the D and the R for city council, but they didn't say anything about the term limits. I think term limits would be an interesting question. If you're only going to have to run every 4 years, should council be term limited? I don't know. I think that could be put in a statutory city's rules and regulations. Apparently, you can't get rid of the D and the R because of the us being a statutory city, but I think you certainly could put term limits in. Now, joining us in the studio, somebody who was at the city council meeting last night as well, our friend Sean Kraft here at the station. Sean, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Want to make sure you're sounding good here this morning?
Yeah.
Well, what was your takeaway from the city council meeting last night?
Confusing. I was totally confused. I really didn't understand what was exactly going on there, be honest with you.
Well, city council members want to go from 2-year terms to 4-year terms.
Okay.
What do you make of that?
Was it at large?
I didn't point that out. You're exactly right. Yeah. The at large would not start immediately, but the wards would.
Yeah.
The at large and the president would not start for 4 years. But the next election for the seats and the... I can't remember which one the president was in. I think the president was with the at-large. So the seats would start, like the wards, would start next election being 4-year terms. At-large and president would still be a 2-year term. And then 2 years after that, the wards would not be back up, but president and at-large would. Now then those would become 4-year terms. Because those are the president and the at-large seats are voted on by the entire city.
Gotcha.
So
totally confusing.
Well, it's hard to understand, and I'm not even sure I got it right. But the point is, do you think they should be given longer terms?
Yeah, because that gives them more time to get things done, in my opinion.
Well, what about term limits? Now, Miss Lubke was there last night, Teresa Lubke. She talked about taking the R and the D off the ballot, which I think is a good thing. But what about term limits? Nobody brought that up. What about 2 4-year terms?
That's a possibility. But yeah, nobody brought that up, though.
No, I, I'm not telling you how to run. Maybe they just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on up there. And by the way, that would be on the ballot. That's not something they're going to do just to do it. It would go in front of the voters this November.
Yeah.
So the voters ultimately would make the decision. By the way, I think that's the good thing to do, that it would go in front of the voters. They're deciding whether to put it on the ballot or not. Right. I'm not sure if the voters would pass it, to be honest with you. I think right now we don't like putting people in office for a long time. People always complain about congressmen, state reps, being in office too long. State reps have a term limit. Tracy Richardson's termed out at this point. So I don't know that people would vote for this, but who knows?
Yeah, possibility.
It's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay, we did find out last night that the plan to the state financially was submitted on April 6th, and again, the mayor did respond this morning to my email. He said as soon as he knows, we'll know, and I thank him for that. What do you think? Now, apparently, we talked to Mr. Kreider when it was over. Now, he says that, and I don't want to quote you wrong here, Scott, if you're out there listening. Okay, bus fares have not been raised and curbside recycling has not been eliminated. But it was in the plan that was sent to the state, was my understanding, on April the 6th. But it hasn't been eliminated yet. I don't understand exactly how that can happen, but... Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless they're just going to hold off until the state comes back with a decision.
So you think if the state comes back and says, we like this, then they'll do away and raise the bus fares?
That's my opinion.
But if the state says, we don't like it, aren't you going to do that anyway to raise funds for the city?
You would think. But I guess they're hanging on with a thread and a needle.
Well, then we got the presentation last night on solar panels that will run supply energy for the wastewater utility plant sounded good.
I think it's a good idea. That land's just sitting there doing nothing. I mean, it's a landfill.
Kind of an old dump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not? Somebody made a comment last night that it didn't look pretty. Well, I don't understand.
Well, what if somebody wanted to build a building out there? Would that look pretty? And I'm not criticizing the person for saying that.
I'm not either.
I'm just saying, windmills, I don't know, are pretty. I don't know that some people's houses are pretty. I don't know that some people's cars are pretty. You know, yeah. I don't know if the aesthetics are what we're looking for here.
Right. I think they're looking for to save energy, which I think it's highly time to go energy saver. Oh, but what do they call it? First energy or whatever they...
Solar?
Solar, yeah.
Solar.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, weigh in on. We'd like to hear from you, the listening audience. I know a lot of people watch those programs on Facebook. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, how about this whole blow up first hour this morning? I'll tell you, this governor's race could not get any uglier, could it?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Okay. Heather Hill, who's been in studio with us here.
Yeah.
I interviewed Heather Hill probably about a year ago now. Here in the studio, she's in the Republican primary for governor, and now her running mate, Stuart Motes, who was on in hour number one this morning, boy, they've got in a kerfluffle, and she said that she doesn't want him on the ticket anymore, but his name can't come off the ballot because the Secretary of State says there's not enough time. Now, she made the claim, so we don't have to go all through this again. But she made the claim that he did this on purpose to try to hurt her campaign. She says it's not an accident. She said that he called her an N-word bitch.
Hmm.
And also used the R-word when referring to her husband, which he did. He did in a video.
R-word.
Somebody with mental handicaps. Yeah, I don't even want to say that word anymore. I don't think it's politically correct.
Yeah.
So, and he said he did not call her the N-word, but he has used the N-word. But he did call him the R-word. I think that's in a video.
Okay.
In any event, then he came back at her after she did that with him, and he kind of laid into her heavy here. Let's get some of these quotes again. Boy, aren't these the quotes. This is what he said about Heather Hill. He called her a deranged lunatic narcissist. He said, "Trust me, there is no way on earth I would pull you close to me or put my arm around you, especially in the manner that your delusional lunatic mind has made up." He called her physically disgusting. He said, "No one, even with a handful of blue pills, would be able to actually do anything with you. It's that repulsive. And the only thing more disgusting than you physically is what's on the inside. Your soul is black." Now, this is our gubernatorial campaign.
Wow.
We got Amy Acton with the police report from 2019 and the mirror being broken. We've got Casey Putch possibly saying pro-Nazi things and coming up with a video about cowboys and Indians, asking Vivek to play cowboys and Indians, which a lot of people have said is racist. We've got this, not even with a handful of blue pills would I do anything, or would anybody do anything with you. You're physically disgusting. And that's her lieutenant governor candidate. I mean, you know, where has politics devolved?
In the toilet, that's for sure.
Well, Matt's out there. Matt says he likes the windmill fields. He likes the look of them.
Does he?
Well, how about solar panels, Matt?
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody want to weigh in on any of this? It's been a busy morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And Naomi out there also pointing out this morning that it is $8 million in savings. I mean, it's not just to put up solar panels.
Right.
$8 million in savings over the course of the project, which I think is 25 years, I think I heard.
It is being What's the word I'm trying to come up with? Maintain.
Maintain.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the word. By the company. By the company.
Oh, yes, they do maintain it. Yeah, they lease it from the... And the city doesn't even lose the land.
No.
They lease it from the city, and then at the end of 25 years, they've got the option to do possibly a renewal, or they remove the solar panels.
Absolutely.
Who is this a bad deal for? If you don't like the look, well, 25 years, it'll be back to whatever it was before.
Landfill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's one of those things where I think maybe people are just being contrarian. Because how many people drive out there to look at the landfill?
Right, nobody does.
It's a little strange. But again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 39 minutes past the hour. We've got about 21 minutes left in the program, 740-383-9944. But that's more or less what happened on City Council last night, the four-year term discussion, which is not going to council yet. I believe will be read one more time in committee. The plan to the state went down on April the 6th, and they had the solar panel discussion, which is going to go to council. There was some discussion about the land across from Logan Tire possibly becoming a Dollar General, I believe.
Dollar General.
Yeah. Now, that's going to go to council. They sent that on to council, which they have to do because it does have to have a rating in front of council. I don't know. How you think that looks?
I don't know. Some people are concerned about the land being contaminated.
Yeah, there was that discussion. But Scott Kreider said they will do those tests before they do anything else. Now, Matt out there this morning says solar panels are probably more effective, but I think they look less good. I'd be in favor of solar, though. So Matt's in favor of solar.
That's good.
I don't know. What do you think? Are people into solar?
You know, I was going to get solar on my house at one time or another. Because it says, you know, you can save some money, save some power. It'll go back to the grid. And then... But I think it takes
a lot. I've never heard of any problems with solar.
I haven't either.
And especially if they have to maintain it, it doesn't cost the city anything.
Right.
Except the savings of $8 million over 25 years.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Right.
Again, 740-383-9944, 19 minutes left in the broadcast. If you'd like to weigh in, feel free to do so. Now, I want to get your opinion on this because this became a big knockdown drag out yesterday about the tips. No tax on... Bob, our friend in Columbus, called in.
Yeah.
Our pizza friend, who ran a pizza shop here in Marion for years. Now, he says that this is a good thing. That there's no tax on tips. First $25,000 you make on tips. But my contention is that, you know, if you're already making minimum wage as a pizza driver, and then all your tips are tax-free, you know, you could be doing pretty good as a pizza driver, which, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But nobody else, like your manager, is not getting a tax break because they're not making tips. So what do you think?
I see where you're going with it.
Because I just think everybody should get some kind of a break. Right. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I wasn't going to call today just because I could tell by Bob's tone of voice yesterday, the sound of my voice must irritate him. But once you mentioned his name, I called back in just to say how Bob couldn't have been more wrong if he tried yesterday. I mean, if he looked up how to be wrong yesterday, he nailed it 100%. It is an as part of my educational pursuits, I also have a degree in human resources. It is an absolute crime, literally a crime, for an employer to keep an employee's tips, whether it is credit card tips or it is cash tips. That is under the Fair Labor Standards Act, the FLSA, which dictates minimum wage, overtime, all of those other silly things that employers are forced to abide by. And it is illegal under state law. If Bob knows that's going on, whoever Bob's getting his information from has a good claim with the Wage and Labor Division in the state of Ohio, and they should make a complaint.
Well,
it doesn't have anything to do with workers' comp.
No, let me catch
but
people
Bob
up.
Bob being a pizza owner, I want to get this in. Bob being a pizza owner and knowing how poorly these people are paid, admits to leaving a dollar or two, if any, tip at all. You're part of the problem, Bob.
But now, hold on, because I want to catch people up on what happened yesterday. But Bob made a point that he says that some of these pizza places, if you leave the tip on the credit card, that it's put into a pool at
crime.
The end.
Crime. That's a crime.
And then split up.
Do you think
up.
That corporate employers are going to set themselves up for criminal liability to steal $30 from an employee? Or not criminal liability, civil liability. And they're huge penalties. It's not like they would just owe you $30. They would owe you $30 plus all kinds of damages.
Well, I want to make this point, and I'm not... Let me say, I'm not saying...
No, listen, what scares me is that Bob was an employer at one point in time. Was he stealing money from his employees?
Oh, I don't
because
think they...
He sure didn't seem to think like there was anything wrong with it.
I don't think... I don't.
Pool tips are an entirely different thing, but an employer cannot take money from an employee's tips. That is a crime.
I would doubt in Bob's day there were a lot of credit card sales, but...
Well, then maybe he shouldn't be speaking to something he doesn't know about.
But it's not. But I guess the question is, do they do it? Because that's interesting. Because I want to come to Sean here, because Sean...
It is a... You know how much credit card tips you have.
Right, but...
You know how much you made. You know how much should be on your paycheck or how much you should be tipped out at the end of the night.
Right, but now, Sean...
You are taxed on that amount, Scott.
Right. Sean, okay. You are your favorite food is pizza, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you order pizza. You like pizza. Now, have you ever tipped on the credit card?
Always.
Okay, do you think that that's going to the driver or that that's going into a pool to be split up between the employees at the end of the night?
Well, I always thought it went to the driver.
I think that's what we all did. And yeah, yesterday...
It goes to the driver, by law.
Okay, so it does go to the driver, so...
Yes. And I mean, okay, if they tip you in cash, is your... manager going to stick their hands in your pockets and say, oh, you've got $5 more than you had when you left. Split it up.
Well, I just don't know how that could be done unless you have a tip jar out there.
Right.
Which
that,
you know.
Some things make sense and some things don't. What he was saying yesterday didn't make sense, but he sure was positive and doubling down on them.
Well,
I used to work in a pool tip environment. This was way before credit cards were popular. We all still used cash back then. Debit cards were still somewhat futuristic. I worked in a pooled tip environment. We all made more than server minimum wage. Server minimum wage was $2 an hour. We all made $5 an hour, and we all split our tips at the end of the shift. We threw them in a jar at the end of the shift. Everybody sat down and counted them, and we cashed out. But we all made more money than what minimum wage was, and we all worked harder because we all helped each other and knew we were having a good day, so we were going to keep that good day going.
Well, the point I want to make is that... clearly, that does not happen in restaurants on the credit card, because
no.
I think servers would be very angry about that.
Yes.
But the thing I was talking about yesterday was the haircut places, the barbers. Because the barbers, I think, now there are the swanky places where
when
they do
you go
rent.
To a strip mall, that person is employed by Great Clips or whomever,
right.
And they make more than minimum
more.
Wage. My friend was a manager at Fiesta for 15 years. It's changed names so many times now, but you know what I'm talking about. She was a manager there for 15 years. She made an hourly rate. She also made commission off of her, like her chemical services, perms, colors, that sort of thing. She made a percentage of whatever that cost was, and she made her tips.
So why are we, listen, and I'm not trying to be a cheapskate here, but if you're making more than minimum wage and you're making commission off of what you sell, why are we tipping that person? I've never understood why we tip
people.
No,
I don't believe you're obligated to tip.
But it's on the receipt. You feel like an idiot if you don't.
Well, I don't tip everyone, but I also see a private stylist that has, they rent a booth in a salon. They set their own prices. They set their own hours. They do their own appointments. And they pay the owner of the building X amount of dollars. I don't know what that is. But she charges $29 for a haircut. And when I went in the other day, I gave her $40.
Well, and so, I think that's fine. And if you want to do it, it's okay. I'm just saying, in the pizza environment, servers, I totally get. Because servers do not make minimum wage. Pizza drivers do. And the people who work in the hair salons more than likely make better than minimum wage.
So, but they are also a skilled trade. They went to college for thousands of hours of schooling. They have thousands of hours of schooling.
Well, right,
it's
but
not
we
like
don't...
You can, I'm not saying it to be disrespectful, but you can't hire somebody off the street to cut hair. You can hire somebody off the street to deliver pizzas.
Right, but it's odd to me that these are on the receipt. Like, we don't tip... person who carries our groceries to the car. We don't tip the person who rings up our groceries. We don't tip the person in the drive-thru who goes and gets our pop. We don't tip the employee at McDonald's who gives our food to us. We don't tip those people, and there's not even a place on the receipt to do it.
I have Seven Brew asks for tips, and all they do is make you your coffee.
But Starbucks doesn't. So why... See, I think if you put a tip spot on every receipt at every place, people would tip you.
There's psychology behind that. There really is. But
right.
You're allowed to hit no tip. You're allowed to do that.
Well, they look at you. They look at you when you hit
okay.
no tip.
What are they going to do?
Then you can mess your hair up next time you go in there.
No, I tip my stylist. I see the same stylist. See, I have that relationship. But tipping is, you know, I don't have pizzas delivered very often because I don't want to pay $5 to the pizza place and pay $5 to the delivery guy. I've got no problem paying the delivery guy, but my time isn't so, I'm not so lazy that I can't get up to save $10. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
yeah. So we do mostly pickups, but when they're delivered, somebody gets between $5 and $7 to bring me my pizza.
What about, I don't know.
It is a crime, yes. Let someone else complain.
Okay. Well,
it is a crime for an employer to keep tips from an employee. A crime.
Well, we'll see where we go. Thanks.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. And by the way, you know, callers are... I like anybody who calls in. I don't really care how many times anybody calls in or how often they call in. You know, that's the whole point, is we want callers.
Right.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just think that, I don't know, sometimes you like the guest, and I'm not talking about the callers. Sometimes you like the guest, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you're going to agree with the callers, and sometimes you're not. That's just life, you know. It happens.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. So, your opinion on tips.
My opinion on tips, it should be, what I don't like is if you go to a comedian, they put that gratuity on there.
A gratuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not right. Because one of you to have good service.
Well, you don't have to. Oh, you mean the built-in gratuity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Well.
Yeah.
That's a new thing. By the way, one of our listeners out there, my wife tips the Kroger employees who bring her pickup order to the car. Well, that's nice.
Do they get to keep it?
Now, see, though, what's the difference between that person and the bagger who carries your groceries to the car?
I don't know. If you get a tip from Kroger, are you allowed keeping it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't stop somebody from giving you a tip.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I don't, it's just the society we live in. I really don't understand why we tip certain people and why we don't tip others. Now, I understand servers because they're not making minimum wage. But these other people are. Pizza drivers, hair salons, they're all making minimum wage. So why do they have the built-in tip where the other businesses like McDonald's and Kroger and Walmart and Meyer and what about the people who give your car a tune-up? There's no tip on there.
No. I'm not sure.
I don't get the whole tipping. If you want to give somebody a tip, that should be your prerogative, but I don't think it should be mandatory on the receipt for the hair salon and the pizza driver.
Yeah. I think it's been like that for years, though.
Well, the person at Subway has to prepare the sub the way you want it right in front of you. Do we tip them? No.
No. I don't know. It's very interesting.
It's an odd subject.
It's been like that for years, though, for pizza deliveries and hair salons.
But I did not know about the pooled tips either.
Oh, you didn't?
Did you?
No, I mean,
that if you tip on the credit card, that a lot of these pizza places will pull their tips and put them in a jar and separate them between the employees at the end of the night.
No, I didn't know that either.
Go ahead.
Pay attention the next time you're at Subway. The option to tip is there.
Is it?
Yes.
I have. Why don't that tells you how often I go to Subway?
Now you know.
Now I know. Thank you. No, I did not know that Subway had a tip on the receipt. Did you?
Either. No, I didn't either.
Of course, I don't go to Subway a whole lot.
No, I need Subway. I haven't been in Subway for like a year.
Now, why does Subway have a tip?
Like you, what you said, they fix your sandwich in front of them.
Yeah, but so does the guy at McDonald's. So does the guy at Burger King. So does the guy at Wendy's. So does the guy at these other places? Like, what's the place? Why does Starbucks not ask for a tip, but 7 Brew does?
Good question. I don't know.
I don't get a lot of this. What's the other sub place? Penn Station. Do they ask for a tip?
I don't know.
I used to go to Penn Station a lot, and I don't remember there being a place for a tip. There might have been.
Yeah, there might have been. I don't know.
And what's the other one across the street?
Jimmy John's.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. And Jimmy John's, too, right?
Jimmy John's? I mean, I don't remember. Now, every time I go to Chipotle, though, they're out of food.
Are they?
Yeah, there's something going on with that place.
Oh, I am not in favor of Chipotle.
What is wrong with Chipotle?
I got sick on Chipotle one time. I think it was raw or something. I don't know what it was. It was gross.
But you've gotten sick on pizzas before, right?
Yeah,
I have. Didn't turn you off to pizza.
No.
No. Oh, by the way, what did you make, by the way, of Heather Hill? The comments by her lieutenant governor candidate.
I think it's kind of wrong. But
he was angry.
Yeah.
Called her physically disgusting. Said no one, even with a handful of blue pills, would be able to actually do anything with you. It's that repulsive, and the only thing more disgusting than you physically is what's on the inside. That's her former running mate.
Wow.
I'll tell you. Could this governor's race get any more entertaining?
Oh, my goodness.
Why is everything like reality TV? Well, that's not a good sign. Do you remember the old days? Could you ever imagine John Glenn saying something like this to somebody? Could you ever imagine Governor Strickland or Governor Celeste or Governor Taft saying something like this to somebody?
No.
Even Governor DeWine. Now, he did say he was going to kick Joe Blystone's rear end.
Oh, really?
And he didn't use the term rear end, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, he used the actual word?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
I don't understand where our civility has gone.
Well, out the window, that's for sure.
Who's going to be the next governor?
I have no idea at this point. It's going to be interesting.
Who do you think is going to win this primary between Heather Hill, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Casey Putch?
I don't know who is favored to win right now.
Oh, Vivek.
Oh, he is? Oh.
But outside of that, who knows?
Yeah, good question. I don't know who's going to win.
How you feel about Amy Acton?
Sounds to me she has some problems of her own going on.
She does.
Yeah.
So when you look at all these people, do any of them make you happy?
No, not really. I'll probably just have to do a write-in. Like, I'll have to write myself in there.
You're going
to
write yourself? Well, that's a little...
Yeah.
You're going to write yourself?
Yeah.
Not somebody else?
No, I'll just write myself in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't think anybody else could be a better governor? I don't know. It's just, there's weird stuff going on in this campaign.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the mudslinging of it and so on and so forth.
I'll have to wait until it gets further into the primaries and then...
Well, we're getting close.
Yeah. And then I'll figure out who I'm going to vote for. It's going to come down to two of them, Amy Acton or Vivek.
Is that his name? Vivek.
Vivek.
Yeah.
Okay. I can never pronounce his name.
That could be a problem right off the bat. You can tip at Chipotle.
Oh, you can?
Apparently.
See, there you go. Did you tip when you went?
They had no food.
Oh.
I couldn't get past that. You got to have food to be able to tip.
What kind of food do you like?
I didn't get that far. I walked in and there were people sitting at the counters and they said, we're out of food. Well, they ran off everything they were out of, and it sounded like all the only thing they had was bread.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was kind of a non-starter on my behalf.
Yeah.
All right, we got 1 minute left if anybody wants to get in before the show's up. 740-383. It always goes by fast. People think this is a long show. It's not a long show. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we certainly thank Mr. Moats, Stuart Moats, for joining us in hour number one, telling us what was going on with the Heather Hill campaign. We thank Scott Kreider, Marion City Council at large, for joining us this hour, letting us know what's going on there. And tomorrow will be another morning where we'll come back and see what's going on. I don't know. Personal attacks, I don't think, are ever a good idea. Maybe we should live by the golden rule that everybody's parents taught them. Do unto others as they do unto you. Is that the golden rule?
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. For everybody involved in the program today, for Stuart Moats, for Sean Kraft, for Scott Kreider, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah.
Is it how much...